Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
Good morning, everyone. If I have not had the pleasure to meet you, like Alex said, my name is Taylor. Together, we have the privilege of serving here on team at our C3 Vernon location. In case you didn't know, C3 Church, we've got three locations, one in Kelowna, where Pastor Dave and Kim, Pastor Kim is usually, here in Vernon, we're secretly the best, and in Revelstoke. I know, right? So Alex and I, we've been here at C3 Vernon for, goodness, it'll be 5 years this fall. We have three amazing kids. They're a little rambunctious running around. I'm sure you saw them. And they just spent a week with their grandparents, so I'm refreshed and really miss them. So, you know, we're good. First, I want to honor our pastors and that they believe in me and trust me with their platform. I do not take it lightly. So thank you to Pastor Dave and Pastor Kim, as well as Pastor Josiah and Pastor Kimberly. Without their trust and releasing, I would not be standing here today. So can we give a round of applause for our pastors? Okay. I have like these little notes in here that says breathe so that I remember to like take a breath. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever thought that your story is completely unique? That no one else has experienced what you have? I did. However, the more and more I researched and reflected, I realized that this is not actually 100% true. Though my story is unique to me, it is not unique to the world. But what is unique about my story is how God showed up and saved me. It's important that we share our stories so that others may find freedom in sharing their stories. Your story is too important to keep to yourself. I'm going to go Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Oh, yeah. I'm all about old school. So it says in the New Living Translation, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic." I'm speaking to myself right now. "For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you, for he will neither fail you nor abandon you." Come on, let's pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story this morning. God, would you speak through me? Would I share what it is that you have put on my heart to communicate this morning? Would they be your words, not mine? In your name we pray. Amen. So, if you're taking notes, which I recommend, the title of my message is Own Your Story. Last night, Alex, I was trying to come up with like a fun, cool title. I may have gone to a chat, whatever it's called, and was like, give me a cool sermon title. And none of them. He was like, no, that's lame. I'm like, okay, give me a cheeky sermon title. No, those are lame too. So then I just stuck with my original. No. Yeah, they were not good. Okay, so the title is Own Your Story. I read this quote a couple years ago and it really stood out to me. It said, Anne Lamott says, "You own everything that happened to you. Tell your stories. If people wanted you to write warmly about them, or in my case, speak warmly about them, they should have behaved better." I often feel that it wasn't my story to tell, or that I had to get permission from the other people who are in it. However, as I read that quote, I started to feel as though it is my place. It's my story, and it's my turn to share this side of my story. So for those of you who don't know, I grew up raised by a single mom who played the role of both mom and dad. For example, I gave my mom a Father's Day card. on Father's Day. I didn't notice anything was weird or different until I hit elementary school. All my friends seemed to have two parents show up for their concerts and their kindergarten graduation. But when it really hit me was when it came time for the father-daughter hockey day. All my friends were so excited about it and could not stop talking about it. This really impacted me, and I remember then starting to wonder, why don't I have a dad? Why don't I have someone that wanted to go with me to the father-daughter hockey day? So I began asking questions, which I'm sure every mom, as I can only imagine, then gets anxious about. But I started to ask my mom, who was he? Why wasn't he in our lives? At the time, she gave me the best answer that she could, or what was age appropriate, to a 7-year-old. But that didn't seem like enough for me. I wanted to know him. If he was willing, I wanted to have a relationship with him. So my mom went to work on finding him. Again, this is from my point of view. So she called around the places she knew he used to hang out or work, and he found him at Waddy's. Has anybody been around Vernon long enough to remember Waddy's? Yeah, pancake breakfast place. So that's where they met, P.S. Anyways, he was still working there. All these years later, she got his phone number for me to call, and I called him. I remember saying in our first conversation, I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. I picked up the phone, and I go, can you close your eyes for a second? Imagine your phone rings, you get a call, and it says, hello, this is Taylor. I'm your daughter. A little nerve-wracking. But we began to have some phone conversations, and then spring break came along, and I got to meet him. I got to come down. I was living in the Lower Mainland at the time, so my mom drove me up here. My memory of this time was that my mom was allowing me to have a relationship with him and get to know him. Again, as a parent now, that seems like a lot of trust to place in somebody that you haven't seen in years. I can only imagine the courage that she would have had. So she drove me to his house. I spent a couple hours with him, got to know him. I was introduced to some family members. Turns out I actually have cousins and aunts. Weird. But when you grow up with one parent, you only know one side of the story. We spent many nights on the phone together, getting to know each other. And my mom, I should have got her to send me this, but she actually has a photo of me asleep with, I think I had like puppy dog stickers on the wall, like vinyl. Anyways, with the phone, because, you know, it's not cell phones, but it was a cordless, attached to my face, like just leaning on my head while I was asleep. Like, I spent so much time trying to get to know him and the family that I didn't know. I found out shortly after that he was getting married. And his soon-to-be wife was pregnant. I was so excited. I already had a sister from my mom who, again, my family story is beautiful. It's a widely branched tree. So my sister from my mom, we have separate dads. And then this sister this child who turned out to be a sister, we have the same dad. And I was so excited to have another sibling to get to spend time with. At their wedding, after their wedding, she was born, and I was so excited to spend time with her. Flash forward 2 years, I was graduating from middle school, went to Christian school, so, you know, grade 8 graduation was a big deal. In fact, my daughter this week, while she was at my parents' house, put on my grade 8 graduation dress, and it was a little nerve-wracking, to say the least. He came to my graduation without my new sister and without my new mom. And I said, where are they? He told me that they were actually getting a divorce. I was so confused and frustrated that I had spent the last 3 years building a relationship with her and didn't understand why she didn't want to see me or tell me this herself. It was in that moment that I realized that he didn't call me, to tell me that she wasn't coming. In fact, he never called me. This was the first time in the last 5 years that he had ever come to visit me. And that it was always me doing the reaching out or the visiting or the calling. I decided at that point, if he wants a relationship, he can reach out. Well, let me tell you, it's been 20 years. Still hasn't reached out. But not the point of my story today. From that moment on at my grade 8 graduation, even though I now know that God did not abandon me, at the time, I felt abandoned and like I wasn't worth loving. That anyone who came into my life would end up just leaving and hurting me. I kept most, if not all, of my relationships or my friendships at a surface level so that I wouldn't get hurt. When I was 12, my mom remarried an amazing man who, despite me pushing and pushing and pushing every chance that I got to get him to go away, he chose to stay and proved to me that he wasn't going anywhere. Last year, they celebrated their 20th wedding anniversary, and he's the best dad and grandpa for my kids that I could have ever asked for. But my healing didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen because my mom married a nice guy. When I was 19, I went away to a missionary training school for 6 months, and during that time is when I really began to heal. I encountered Holy Spirit in so many different ways. And I began to find freedom for my heart in those moments. I came across a few scriptures that gave me comfort. The first one, Psalms 56, verse 8. And it says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle, and you have recorded each one in your book." Reading this psalm, I felt as though every tear that I cried mattered, that God was with me and comforting me through the whole thing. Ephesians 1, and this is, I'm going to read 4 to 6. It says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us, and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom." Sorry, I extended this. "He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding." I don't know about you, but I like to highlight and underline in my Bible. And one thing that kind of stood out to me is I wrote down right here, God wants me. He chose me before the foundation of time. He doesn't just need me, but he wants me. And it was in that moment that I began to find freedom from abandonment. I began to realize that before creation, he chose me. Just like my new dad chose me, God had already chosen me. That I could put my hope and my trust in him, that he would never leave me or abandon me. Back to Deuteronomy 31:6, and reading a little bit further, it says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Then Moses called out for Joshua, and all Israel watched, for he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. When the Bible says something more than once, he's trying to get you to pay attention. That's in like two verses right there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. For God will personally go ahead of us. He will neither fail us nor abandon us. So, after reading all these verses about how God loves me enough to never leave me or abandon me, and that he's been collecting my tears, I truly began to believe it. That new faith and trust in someone who will never fail me was life-changing. I share my story so that I can find freedom from the hurt in it, but also so that you might be able to feel encouraged to share your story. Maybe your story sounds similar to mine or completely different. That does not take away from the value of your story. I used to think that I needed a better testimony. I grew up in a Christian home, went to Christian school, went to church my whole life. I needed a better testimony. I needed to be the party girl. I needed to have this encounter with the Lord on the bathroom floor. But that doesn't need to be it. My story and my testimony is my story. So you might be saying to yourself, okay, so this was, you know, it's great. Your story, sure, maybe a little sad. Woe is you. But what does it have to do with me? And let me tell you, it has everything to do with you. Here are three quick things that I feel like reasons why we should share our stories. Okay? Number one, your story is too important not to share. Often we feel as though we are the only ones who ever walked our journey. And we are, like I said, our story is unique to us, but it's not unique to the world. There are so many people in the world who are walking similar stories. And by us sharing our story, we help point them to Jesus. Psalms 105 verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done." One thing that I realized when I realized this was a few years ago, I was doing some research on my family history. My biological father is indigenous, and I was trying to figure out if I qualified for status or not. And I thought to myself, I don't need to. I was raised by a white woman. In a relatively well environment, she took care of me. But then I did some more research. The amount of children born to indigenous parents that share similar stories to me where one or both of their parents abandoned them, how could I not share my story? The difference is that my story includes a God who saved me and loved me. And the purpose behind it, behind my story, is to help people to get closer to God. Number two, our story was never meant to stay silenced. It was meant to be shared and shared and shared so that others can see how God had his hand over your life. But also so that others can reflect on their own story and see how God has had his hand on theirs. Isaiah 12, 4-5 says, "In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world." A few years ago, actually before we moved here, I was sitting in our church, and I felt Holy Spirit say to me, "It's time." I said, It's time for what? Exactly. It's time for you to share your story. And like I said at the beginning of this, I've never felt comfortable sharing my story because I felt like I needed permission from others in the story. But in that moment when I had that revelation from Holy Spirit, I felt like he also then encouraged me that if he's asked me to do it, he'll cover me through it. So my encouragement to you, our story was never meant to stay silenced. When we keep our story silent is when shame can brew, when fear can brew, when we sit back and look back and go, nope. But when we start to speak it out loud, even just sharing it with a friend, it really brings freedom to us and to others. I don't know if you were here last week, but last week I was sharing about a podcast I listened to on my long drive home by myself. And it was in that was like you sharing your story. And this is kind of where this kind of, I had this idea and then I listened to that. It was like all ordained perfectly. But by us sharing our story, it gives others permission to share theirs. And the third thing is, our story helps bring people closer to God. Every time we tell people how God has shown up for us, we allow others to see how God has shown up for them. Every step and story gives people an opportunity to move closer to God and his love. So, who can you authentically share your story with? Who is God asking you to open your heart to? I encourage you, we're about to launch another semester of midweek groups. It's a great place to share your story. It's a great place to find connection with people. Last week, I encouraged you after Alex's message to go for lunch with somebody. We did. And what an opportunity to just be out of your comfort zone to get to know somebody else. Again, potluck in 2 weeks is another great place to share your story, to sit around a table with somebody that you may not know. It doesn't have to be surface level. I'm sorry, but I'm sick of surface level. Life is too short. I've lost too many family members recently that it's too short for surface level. So if I ask you how you're doing, I actually care about how you're doing. And if you want surface level, you could just say, I'm not doing great, but I don't want to go into it today. And I'll say, okay, I can respect that. Remember, your story is too important not to share it. God has shown up for you, and he continues to show up for you and those around you. I never preach my entire time. But I just want to encourage you this morning. That if you have walked similar story to mine, or you know somebody who has, can I encourage you that God was there through it all? One thing that really stood out to me when I was in my process of healing was the scripture about God collecting our tears. Not one did he let go. He recorded it. Before I met my biological father, my mom was dating a gentleman who was verbally abusive. He yelled, he was loud. And, you know, I think of my first memory as a child is I'm hiding in my closet crying. This is my first memory. But after finding freedom, I believe that I wasn't alone in my closet, that I wasn't crying by myself. I had an encounter with Holy Spirit in that moment, a recognition when I was older that he was with me. He never left me. Though I didn't see him, he was there. And that's another thing, that when we share our stories, when we reflect on our past, it may seem like there are moments where God wasn't with us. It may seem like there were moments where we were all alone, but we never were. God has always been with us, and he will always be with us.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.